Certainly one of the most anticipated career anthologies was the complete original Elektra Records box set of The Cars, remastered with terrific sound and receiving rave reviews from fans since its spring 2016 release. Now that the fleet of the original six Cars studio albums and an earlier greatest hits package have been hot-rodded down to a generous 18-song best-of by the members of the band into something called Moving in Stereo, the best of The Cars. The Cars were consistent in their components over the approximately 10-year course of the original five-man band, and the drivetrain always was powered by the songs of Rick Ocasek.
Always bands that I appreciated the lyrics of. People like Bob Dylan and somewhat, you know, raunchy heavy bands. You know, Iggy and the MC5, a whole slew up until another period of time. Songwriters like, you know, Buddy Holly. Originally, because I felt he was the only one who was writing songs, and I loved his melodic sense and everything. So he was very, very much an inspiration.
Growing up in the Ocasek household, early 1960s Sputnik and Telstar technology combined with real Cold War James Bond intrigue for Rick, courtesy of his father.
He was a systems analyst for NASA, and in the early days too, actually probably way before the first moonshot, but up including, you know, maybe that time. And, you know, he did relatively secret work, and so we had a pretty secret father, you know.
I think
that's like brought home black books that were locked and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Seriously. So in your home, there was things where the kids couldn't go and things you weren't supposed to see kind of thing.
Well, there was definitely books around that were locked.
There was
government people coming over to the house sometimes. They'd interview my mom about whether he talked in his sleep.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I even found it interesting to read a lot of stuff about, at one point in my life, about spies. It was intriguing that, you know, a lot of things, government policy and world affairs, are really kind of run by spies. And not so much our government. A lot of decisions are made, like, you know, under the table. And I found that interesting politically.
Touch and go.
song to roll off the assembly line, every single musical hallmark of what would quickly be known as the Cars sound is evident. The catchy simplicity of Rick Ocasek's songwriting, the half-spoken, halting, unconventional lead singing, the insistent, unwavering, straightforward beat by former Jonathan Richman Modern Lover drummer David Robinson, the quirky, campy, reedy organ, and the economical yet inventive lead guitar. Long before the tall, lanky Rick Ocasek strode across a concert stage and became a rock star, Rick was a science geek in the basement.
And technology always interested me. I mean, I probably at the same time as he was at NASA, I was like building radios in the basement and stuff like that. So maybe they thought I was sending over some info I shouldn't be or something, because I had a pretty heavy setup down there. I used to be able to, you know, 2,000 watt single sideband, you know,
the
transmitters and all that stuff when I was like 14 years old.
Wow.
I was just going to say he dismantled it.
Dad said, Dad was afraid you were going to reach behind the Iron Curtain, huh?
He dismantled that stuff.
One of the key components for the Cars drivetrain was keyboard player Greg Hawkes.
I was influenced sort of very heavily, well, mainly by the Beatles, but even beyond the Beatles, specifically sort of the Beatles psychedelic era, all the Sgt. Pepper and I Am the Walrus. I love that, you know, that kind of production. And for me personally, I know that was sort of a big influence. Also, I do remember sort of right around then getting quite heavily into the group Kraftwerk with Trans-Europe Express and stuff. Strangely enough, you know, I think it was Elliot Easton who first played me a Kraftwerk record. I really got into that whole, you know, the whole sort of German electronic, you know, synthesizer movement, I guess.
Another aspect which made the Cars a versatile crossover hybrid was the fact that they had two lead singers. Bass player Benjamin Orr went by his given name, Ben Orr Zukowski, when he first met Rick Ocasek.
I met Benjamin in Ohio, actually, in Cleveland. And I've known him for a very long time. I met him because he was in town booking some concerts. He had a little booking agency from Cleveland, and he booked bars, but he also sang and played. One night, he booked my band into a bar. After the thing, he came over to the house and sang some songs on acoustic guitar. And I thought he had the amazing voice. So from that day on, we started bands. And so we've had bands. So many bands together, maybe 10 or 15.
Benjamin Orr, who died of pancreatic cancer in 2000. His friend and Cars co-founder Rick Ocasek remembers the first time he heard Ben Orr sing.
He sang a couple Beatles songs at that point, and he also sang that Lenny Welch song, Since I Fell for You, which is pretty hard to sing, I think. And he sounded beautiful singing that on acoustic guitar. After that, we just we jumped right into bands, you know, we tried to form bands, and we just, you know, did songs we wrote, basically, you know, got on stage and wrecked equipment and, you know, tried to be like as rash as possible. It wasn't until years later when Ben and I went to Cambridge, Massachusetts, that we actually honed in on just us two singing together and stuff like that, because we played for a couple of years and Cambridge at folk clubs and things acoustically. So we kind of got our singing together that way. We did an odd assortment of material. Actually, it was all our own, but it was very odd to be playing in folk clubs, but we did it anyway.
Magic mouth in the sun. Train ride to
Coming up next, the torque of the car's follow-up gets the cross-legged Woodstock generation off their butts and back on the dance floor. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Rick Ocasek behind the wheel and Greg Hawks riding shotgun in the studio for Moving in Stereo, the best of the cars.
Hi, this is Greg Hawks in the studio.
I'm Rick Ocasek, and I'm here with Redbeard.
For the cars.
Thank you both. From the outset, the cars had the good fortune of attracting the attention of the most successful in-demand rock music producer of the second half of the 70s, Englishman Roy Thomas Baker, who had overseen career-breaking albums for Queen and Journey. Here's Rick Ocasek.
Actually, I think he was maybe one of two producers we met. I remember not even being sure what he did before that. You know, it's always when you're a new band, you worry about everything, and you worry about what they've done or whatever. So anyway, Roy came to one of our shows in a blizzard one night in southern Massachusetts, and in some gym where there was like 12 people, and stood in the middle of the gym and just watched the set, and then came back after and said, if you want to go to London and do this record. We thought, London? Sure. We'll take Roy. So we took him, and he turned out to be the sweetest and greatest, one of the greatest people I've ever worked with. Just a total eccentric personality, very good on the board and everything, but we did that first album in 12 days.
Shake it up. I'm trying to set the dance all night. shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
The title song to The Cars' 1981 album Shake It Up. The Cars joined the Rolling Stones' Miss You as being the first to bridge the considerable gap between the factions of disco versus rockers.
I think you should be able to dance to every song. I always thought moving to a song was part of the mental attitude one should have. Not necessarily, prescribed sort of dance steps, but basically movement. I always thought the things were rhythmic in a way that you could dance to, even if they were ballads.
After the original Cars had parked their career, I read where Rick Ocasek said that the Cars' sleek, polished, chrome and glass sound was a byproduct of the musical limitations of the various band members at the time. Cars keyboard player Greg Hawkes weighs in.
Well, Elliot and I both went to Berklee Music School here in Boston for, well, in my case, for 2 years, in Elliot's case, I don't know, a year or two. I don't think we were sort of thinking along that lines as a group. It wasn't like, okay, guys, when you go home, don't practice because, you know, you're just going to screw up the band. You know, there wasn't anything like that. I know what he means by that statement. I always tried to operate under the philosophy of simpler is better and less is more. It's often harder to play fewer notes.
One thing that the Cars did better than anyone was combine distinctive instrumental sounds from rock and roll's past and combine them all to paradoxically sound cutting-edge modern. Greg Hawkes explained how he did it with producer Roy Thomas Baker.
Well, in my case, I had a Vox Continental organ that did it. It's, you know, like one of those red organs with the color of the keys are reversed, where the white keys are black and the black keys are white. I'm trying to think of who used them before. And strangely enough, the only sort of group that pops into my mind is, I think, Paul Revere and the Raiders. But I'm sure there were others. I think I was influenced on Candio with that particular organ sound by the first Elvis Costello record with, like, Watching the Detectives. That guy, what's his name? Steve Naive. So that was sort of, you know, I think a direct influence on me personally, to kind of seek out that sound, maybe. I think it sort of has more to do with just sort of the way we play and the arrangements sort of that the band came up with sort of is as responsible for the band's sound as the production itself. Not to take anything away from Queen or Journey. I don't mean to imply that. But Roy actually had very little to do with the musical arrangements themselves. Those were fairly well worked out, you know, by the band ourselves, you know, before we even went into the studio. With the Cars, I kind of hear Roy's influence predominantly in the, just the sound of the guitars, the big guitars, the drum sound, and the big background vocals. He really started us on the road to the big background vocals. I guess after having worked, I guess what, the Queen album with Bohemian Rhapsody was the one that he did right before the Cars' first album. So, how could you not do big vocals?
Rick Ocasek doing the lead vocal on Since You're Gone from the Cars' fourth album, Shake It Up. Somehow, Cars' lead guitarist Elliot Easton managed to serve Rick Ocasek's songs with tasty, melodic, economical guitar solos while changing up his style practically on every recording. Rick Ocasek agrees that Easton is probably overlooked and underappreciated simply because Elliot Easton knew his role in the Cars. Here's Rick Ocasek.
Well, Elliot was a unique guitar player always. When you hear a lot of guitar players and you have a lot of bands and you go through 15 of them and you see them in other bands, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great ones and, you know, but there's like a style that's very hard to develop, you know, until you eventually find some style. And I think Elliot had a great melodic style. He was good at also good counter lines and, you know, simplicity. And he seemed versatile to play anything. And he was also brilliant and pretty funny, I thought. You know, he was one of the funniest people in the band as far as coming up with a great, funny, sarcastic remark or something. Very well-read and extremely smart person who played guitar, you know, economically and very good.
Still to come, Rick Ocasek pays tribute to his longtime friend and Cars co-founder, the late Benjamin Orr. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Rick Ocasek and Greg Hawks for Moving in Stereo, the Best of the Cars.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Rick Ocasek.
This is Greg Hawks in the studio for the Cars.
And now back to Redbeard.
Thank you again. One major aspect that producer Roy Thomas Baker insisted that the Cars work on developing was those stacked vocal harmonies. Here's songwriter Rick Ocasek with me in the studio.
The thing about the harmonies, now that was totally Roy's, you know, came up with that. I mean, we sang harmonies live, but it was basically as many people as we had, which was three, and it was really Roy's thing to get that big layered harmony thing, which I was, you know, almost afraid of in the beginning. Because I thought, damn, that's too big, you know? But then it settled in, you know? And then I thought, well, harmonies on records should sound good. So make them good, you know? I love that part.
That you'll be shooting for. I'm not the one who's coming back for more.
You've
been through this too many times.
It's
never a clear pattern to mine. Going
round and round,
'cause you can't get on your feet. Whose memory you still keeping. I'm not the one who's talking in your sleep.
You know why.
I don't have to tell you twice.
You know why.
Knew you when you were so nice. Going
round and round,
'cause you
feet going
round and round,
never touching down. I'm not the one that you'll be breaking it, and I'm not the one that you'll be taking it.
You know
why. Try to crack the shell.
You know
why. When you fake, it's hard to tell.
Cars' zero to platinum popularity came amidst the dying embers of the punk rock spasm, and at least one rock writer tried to compartmentalize the band and the sound that survived with the one-size-fits-none term new wave. To this day, at least one respected music resource begins their entire section on the Cars with, and I quote, "The Cars were the first and most successful new wave group." I asked the Cars keyboard wizard Greg Hawkes if that label helped or hurt.
I don't know, probably both. I think it probably hindered. Well, I don't know. I think it's negative in the sort of context that it sort of ties you in to a certain period of time. It's like, you know, it's like whenever you think of the Sex Pistols, you're going to think of punk rock. You know, I'd rather not necessarily be always thought of, oh, the Cars. Well, yeah, they were the first and most successful new wave group. There's just something about, you know, being lumped in with a genre or a label that is just confining.
And same question for the Cars singer-songwriter Rick Ocasek. Were the Cars the first and most successful new wave group?
I don't think so. Because I don't think any of those terms are accurate anyway. I just think we were around at that time, but... I guess we were in any category they wanted to fit us into at the moment, you know. And I guess New Wave was safer for America. We were certainly weren't punks. I mean, we weren't guys, you know, who crawled along, you know, who were on the streets, you know, kind of a band. So we obviously weren't juvenile delinquents, which was like what punks were or what, you know, punks became. In retrospect, that's all just sort of fashion stuff, you know. That's just fashion labels. Well, put it in a convenient time period for people to remember. You know, now people don't have to think about it. They can just lump it into a era. So I think as far as, like, having people remember it, I mean, you know, new wave, I don't know. I don't know if it, like, got anybody's hair up on the back of their neck or not, you know? There was probably a difference between new wave and punk. Maybe new wave people wore cleaner clothes, I don't know.
I'm gonna keep it anyway.
cool is that? That's an ultra-rare Rick and Ben cover of the 1965 Nightcrawlers garage rock gem, Little Black Egg. I'm Redbeard. This edition of In the Studio is dedicated to the late Benjamin Orr and to my guest, Rick Ocasek, who passed away in 2019. In the Studio is produced by Redbeard Rocks, copyright 2021, all rights reserved. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and online at inthestudio.net.